Successful investigation of cases of alleged corruption requested to the channel resulted in the recovery of 340 million rand from perpetrators. It is worth noting that all senior managers in the service are expected to show all their financial interests by the 30th April of this year. The overall compliance rate by due date in national and provincial departments was 98% in the 2015-2016 financial year. This is an increase of 16% compliance in the current financial year as compared to 82% requested during the previous financial year. The government employee mutual scheme continues to meet its obligations by paying members late and other expenses in keeping with the statutory and contractual obligations. It is important to note that DEM is financially sound and is kept at the end of July 2016 stood at 4.2 billion rand. National School of Governance, working with the South African Local Government Association, SALGA, the trained 312 officials who are responsible for capacitating counselors at local government level. The school is implementing the Breaking Barriers program aimed at capacitating graduates who do not have the experience of working in the public sector. This program aims at removing barriers that make it difficult for graduates to be employable in the public sector. Total number of items intent trained from April to August 2016 to 1,136. The school is also implementing the Foresight Innovation and Leadership Program, which was developed in collaboration with the Institute of Leadership and Development in Africa and the American University. It is a master trainer program aimed at promoting critical thinking ability to communicate effective and innovative and solve problems by negotiations and collaboration strategies to achieve win-win outcomes. After successful completion of the program, the master instructors will be eligible to teach Foresight Innovation and Leadership Program and will become adjunct professors at the American University in the United States. Center for Public Service Innovation, CPSI. This center continues to enhance public sector innovation that improves service delivery for replication. Through the 2016 Public Sector Innovation Award Program, a replication and mainstreaming of innovative projects such as Saving Blood, Saving Lives was shared with Eastern Dale Hospital in KwaZulu-Natal, and the hospital has managed to save up to 16.14 million rand since 2013. The CPSI successfully hosted the 10th Public Sector Innovation Conference in August 2016, which was attended by delegates from all three spheres of government and from as far as Namibia and the People's Republic of China. Numerous tried and tested service delivery innovative solutions were shared with the delegates. The CPSI, through the piloting of the Memeza household alarm in this loop, has installed a total of 600 alarms, which have led to significant improvement in South African police services response time to incidents of crime. The National Development Plan brand identify was launched on the 21st of August, which happens to be my birthday, 2016, to mobilize and actively engage citizens on the NDP and also ensure a uniform communication approach a personal sphere of government, implementing agencies, and social partners, championing the national development. So, to ensure an efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation, DPMA, has undertaken monitoring with its frontline service delivery required to monitor the delivery of services by government agencies. The FSD is aimed at ensuring efficient, responsible, and dignified service at the core phase of delivery. The DPMA launched a national income dynamic study to provide empirical data on the changing dynamics of the South African society. The study informs government about comprehensive story on what is happening to all South Africans across the income distribution spectrum, from rich to poor. It provides government with empirical evidence of the unfolding story of the changes, both positive and negative, in the lives of South Africans. The EU Home Affairs online system for application of smart ID cards and passports became operational in May this year. As has been determined the forecast 2016, a total of 32,610 applicants have been submitted to the system, of which 50% went through, have been analyzed to date. The system is now open to all citizens who bank with the four participating banks, namely Absa, First National Bank, NetBank, and Standard Bank. Currently, 12 branches of these banks are connected to the system in Gauteng, with one branch in Cape Town. Plans are underway to enter into a public service partnership with participating banks, hopefully to be finalized in October this year, and to increase the footprint in the provinces, thus allowing for more South Africans to access the online service. During the period under review, the Interministerial Committee on Elections, under the leadership of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Minister Desmond Royal, oversaw the successful hosting of the fourth democratic local government elections on the 3rd of August 2016. Overall, the fourth democratic local government has taken shape, municipalities have been prosecuted, and councillors are settling in and now are seized with the task of understanding their role in order to deliver on their mandate. There are only two municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal that have still not constituted, the Motu local municipality and Umsinyathi district municipality. To this effect, the key element in the transition process at local government is the induction of councillors known as integrated council induction program. This program is currently being run out throughout South Africa to about 10,000 persons. The ICIP caters for newly elected and retaining councillors, and we believe that it will go a long way in assisting to improve service delivery to communities. In addition, municipalities have begun outlining their plans and government, working with other old players like SALGA, will guide the new era of coalition government to ensure that this democratic outcome consolidates rather than the best service delivery and socio-economic transformation, which the country so disparities. In conclusion, we'd like to emphasize that South Africa requires public servants who are committed to professionalism infused with the values of ethical conduct. This is aimed at placing the needs of the citizens first, with the commitment to deliver quality services to all communities, especially at local government level. Together, we can move local government back to base. Thank you. End of.
Thank you very much, Minister. Ladies and gentlemen, what you are going to do is to take questions. you indicate who you are, the media, how to represent. We will start in Cape Town. If there are any questions, then we'll come to Pretoria. Cape Town?
Yes, we do have questions. Lekhatema, we'll start with Paul, followed by Linda.
Good morning, Minister. Paul Bekiasa from Bloomberg. Just on the public servants in disclosing their business activities or relations, how are you going to ensure that they're making a full disclosure? Has your department started any investigation or means to determine the veracity of their disclosures? Thank you.
Linda?
Minister Linda Ince for Business there. Just continuing on that, what will be the penalty for non-disclosure, and does government have any sort of rough some suck estimate of the extent of business activities by government employees? Thank you. Andisiwe?
Good morning, Minister. It's Andisiwe Magirana from City Press. I just wanted to find out if there is a way of ensuring that officials who have been dismissed from the public service do not return to the public service, because we've seen people that are perhaps removed as DGs in a national department resurfacing at a local government level or in another department. Is there a way of dealing with this? Thanks.
That's it from Cape Town.
Well, what we do, how do we ensure that the declaration are made? We have established units in the department to make sure that we monitor the activities of the civil servant. We also rely on our national quality system, which are prepared for. If there is someone who has not well declared, and then we get to be notified, and we strengthen the system to protect whistleblowers so that they are protected against any assets initiative from people who have been reported. Once we detect that, and we are saying what would then be the penalty. I mean, I've mentioned that among the measures that we take would be basically to fire those cells so involved. And we've given them some months, since August this month until early next year. Those who have been supplemented the case, then they must be able to leave unless they abandon activities. But when we are doing business with government, it's easy to detect because we are government. Our systems will reflect those officials who were involved in this conduct. Now, is there any way in which you deal with officials who have been dismissed from one sphere to another? I think at the moment we are beginning a process, having passed the Public Service Administration Act, which gives us the capability to begin to implement measures which would allow us servicing in the public sector. I think when we reach that point, and the Act allows for systemic and implementation through regulations which the President approves. So at the moment, what we have gazetted in this respect is the regulations which prohibit civil servants from doing government with the state. The next phase would be to include the relevant spheres of government so that we're able to detect anyone, because if we've got one payment system, which is the PESAR, it allows us to see the movement of respective civil servants. So I think we're not there yet, but we're getting there. you very much. I think just to, from a local government point of view, just to say that in terms of our Back to Basics program, which rests on five pillars, putting people first, ensuring delivery of basic services, ensuring sound financial management, good governance, and building strong institutions. That pillar of building strong institutions involves, amongst others, ensuring that the right people with the right qualifications and experience get appointed into the right position. So COCTA has promulgated regulations already, I think, 2.5, almost 3 years ago, that set out very clearly what are the minimum requirements for senior officials in local government. Those regulations also make provision for anyone who's convicted of a disciplinary offence within local government, depending on the offence to be banned for a certain period. I think the maximum is a ban of up to 10 years from being employed anywhere in local government. Once someone has undergone such a disciplinary process, the relevant municipality is obliged to register that person's name on a database that is kept in every province and that is consolidated at a national level. So that indeed, when someone applies for a position in local government, the municipality is obliged to check on that database to make sure that that person hasn't been convicted of an offence elsewhere in local government. And just to stress there, that the person doesn't even need to have been convicted. Merely the fact that they were charged and the process was initiated would qualify them to be registered on that database. Because what we found often is that civil servants get charged, they know they're guilty, and they resign before they can get convicted in an attempt to then evade the process. So at the local government level, there are the elements of that system in place already. Obviously we need to work to strengthen it, and I think as Minister Ramaswamy has indicated, to make it apply across the three spheres of government. And then just secondly, I mean, I believe that with regard to the declarations of interest by senior officials, even in national government, I believe that the Public Service Commission does make a follow-up on that declaration. Public Service Commission system is linked to various databases, such as the property database, vehicle registration, linked to SARS. So in essence, there's a routine, almost a little mini lifestyle audit, if you want to call it that, that is performed on all of those declarations that are filed. So they're not just made for the sake of making them and filing.
Yeah, just at national level, just to elaborate on this, one of the things we are able to, from the BPSA point of view, to monitor those senior civil servants who are supposed to be appointed. For instance, there was a case where a particular official had resigned from a previous employment in the national department and went through the interview, was recommended for appointment, and we discovered that the official had resigned. So we blocked the appointment and communicated to the minister that we can't appoint such an official. As part of our job as BPSA, we've not accepted the DTs and DTGs are appointed by the president. But that is done through the decision. So we go through a thorough screening. We check all elements of the appointment, from advertisement to qualifications to the panel. So we go through the entire system before I take those appointments to cabinet for focus. So we do that. Oh, by the way, the critical. Thank you very much, Pretoria.
Thank you very much, Kanita. relationships at local government levels. We've seen that, you know, more metros now, particularly, and I use metros as an example, are run by the opposition and coalition government. So what is that relationship now? Because, local government exists in collaboration with national government. So how are we going to mitigate that kind of relationship, especially for the big metros like Pune and Johannesburg, where they are now run by coalition?
Is there any last question there?
Yes, there is. Ndisiwe, we'll start with you. And Ndisiwe Makilana from City Press again. My question to Minister Van Rooyen is on the two municipalities in KZN that are still not constituted. At what point does he intervene, and what sort of intervention can he, implement? That's it.
Thank you very much for the question. Let me start with the last question from Cape Town. As you are all aware, that the intervention of other spheres of government on matters of local government is guided by the provision of Section 139 of the Constitution. Now, guided by those provisions, we have seen the MEC of local government in the KZN, MEC Nomzat Muge, working together with the two municipalities, that is the municipality of Jozini as well as Jozini, because Jozini is one municipality situated in the city municipality. So she was working with Jozini, which delayed the constitution of the district municipality of Mzinyati. So as a result of that intervention, Jozini was duly constituted recently, and today as we are speaking, we might have the district municipality of Mzinyati duly constituted. What is happening in Mutu as reported, of course, by the MEC concerned, MEC Nomsatude, there was a dispute which was ultimately subjected to the court on the issue of the withdrawal of one of the representatives by one of the political parties participating there. So as a result, the litigation process definitely affected the constitution of that municipality. So as we are speaking, they are working very hard to ensure that this matter is appropriately resolved. But our intervention in any municipality, obviously, by the provision and decided by that by the section 139 of the Constitution. Well, section 139A allows the MEC in a given province to obviously get into a municipality where the municipality is failing to meet its executive obligation and issue a directive. And in that directive, what is expected of the municipality is stated allowed. And of course, if there's any deviation from realizing that the specifics of that particular directive, then that will lead to the MEC, obviously, applying the provision of section 139.1b. And of course, it's an incremental process that can also lead to the final dissolution of the municipality, which is provided for by section 139.1c. So it's a protracted process, it doesn't happen overnight, but fully speaking, it requires a collaboration by the province as well as the affected municipalities. And we are where we are now in terms of having those two municipalities as a result of the application of the provision of Section 139 by the MEC in Kenya. And the second question was on the issue of the opposition of our relationship with municipalities that are driven by, we don't know that language at this level. At the national level, we work with all municipalities irrespective of which political party is leading. At Costa, we have been doing this. It's not a new phenomenon. It happened in the last local government elections in 2011. And we have experience that we have accumulated out of voting in the first number. But besides, as you know, I mean, most municipalities are under opposition. You are Cape Town municipalities, those municipalities continue to obviously enjoy the support of Costa, of national government, as well as provinces where the municipalities might not be necessarily the another administration of the same party. For this particular discussion that has come up, but also this relationship is guided by the state, starting from allocation of resources and processes of engagement. I mean, our intergovernmental framework, the relations, intergovernmental relations framework is very clear on how we should obviously relate with all municipalities, and it continues. We have forums like the MINMED. We have many other environmental relations structures where all municipalities are treated the same. So it's not a new development. It is something that has been happening, and the state of quo will obviously prevail. For the issue of golden handshake, we have issued a statement of COCTA at the inception of my appointment that the guiding municipalities as to how to this problem. Because we think that in some cases, golden handshakes are a very, very strong way, but also they are setback to our fiscal provision. And definitely it's something that will continue to discourage. And we have issued a statement. Thank you very much.
I'm very much interested in the what the golden handshake. I don't understand the concept, so I've got difficulties there. But anyway, I'm sure we can tell that outside. What does it mean, golden handshake? It means when somebody is leaving you, does it mean when somebody leaves the public service, you give them a lump sum money or something like that? So I'm very interested in that concept. I'm not sure what it means anyway. But government is government, regardless of which party. How? Whether at a local level or provincial level or national. Because our intergovernmental structures are rule governed by legislation and by practice and convention. So there's no crisis. Yesterday, for instance, I was with the MMC, right? MMC. Maidenmen were opening a new shopping center. And that's not the lead from the opposition in terms of national politics. And I'm from the opposition in terms of local government, local government politics. So we had a very nice lunch at that. There was no crisis at all. We all performed our duties. It's just an example of how it
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Lechadima, apologies. There's still two follow-up questions in Cape Town, if you can just take that before we close.
Okay,
it will be Linda and then Bloomberg. Sorry, Tommy Minister, if you could just give us the inception date for the anti-corruption hotline, and also to Mr. Van Rooyen, Minister Van Rooyen, what is the fate now of the traditional leaders amendment bill if I've got the title correct, it's been subjected to a lot of criticism. If you could just update us as to its status and progress. Thank you.
Paul?
Minister Ramaswamy, Paul Vecchiotti from Bloomberg again. Just looking on the stats you gave us on the public officials who were dismissed and fined and so on, it's quite a long period you've given us, from 1st September 2000 until August 2016. So it's very difficult to see how make sense of these numbers in some ways, because you know, it works out to be 141 officials on average dismissed per year. I don't know if that's a lot or not. So how many, so is there any way you can tell us whether there has been an increase in these dismissals and fines and sanctions over the past 2 years, or has it slowed down? And then what is the total number of employees in the public service at the moment? Thank you.
And that's it from
as you know, to effect amendments on the traditional leadership relations framework, there is an amendment bill that is currently being entertained in Parliament. How far is that process? I don't think I'm in the position to implement that process, but I know that that process allows for further consultation on the mooted changes and one among those changes is the recognition, the provision for the recognition of the present constitution of the traditional council for the process. So that's something that is being taken currently within parliamentary process. I'm sure I'll need some help from Mr. Gabenda, but the anti-corruption hotline was operationalized in September 2004, so which is running. Now, there is an increase of in terms of the cases of convicted civil service. That I'm not going to speak, but the government here can admit if we have done such work.
Thanks, Minister. In response to that question, no, we've not done any evaluation on whether it's increased or decreased, but I just want to make the point to clearly indicate that is cases in terms of the National Anti-Corruption Hotline. Cases refer to the Public Service Commission and the referral to the provinces and departments and exactly how those responses have been dealt with and what is the outcome of those. It does not deal with all of the other corruption cases and other disciplinary cases that are dealt with by departments. The Department of Public Service and Administration is looking at a comprehensive report on discipline management in the public service and the sanctions and the outcome of those disciplinary cases for the current financial year. So we will be making that information available at a later date. The other question that was asked in relation to the number of public servants is approximately 1.3 million public servants that are currently employed at national and provincial level. It does not include local government. Yeah.
By the way, just for information, I'm finishing a year today.
Thank you very much, colleague.
Or are you talking to me? Or are you talking to me? What kind of thing would you ask me?
Colleague, there's a refreshment through this door.
Colleagues,
refreshments and the kitchen on the other side. Thank you.